Maryland's 3rd Congressional District is widely considered one of the most gerrymandered in the nation, its lines drawn to favor incumbent Democrat John Sarbanes. So what can a Republican newcomer do to win it? WIPR's Karen Hosler recently hit the campaign trail with candidate Mark Plaster to see if he's found the answer.
3-6!
Sex! Hot sex!
Okay, it wasn't really that sexy. Just a dozen or so Republican women posing for pictures at a recent campaign gathering in Severna Park with the GOP candidate they hope will give John Sarbanes the only serious challenge he's faced since first winning Maryland's 3rd District seat 10 years ago. Plaster's got a great resume. He's a doctor, a lawyer, and a publisher of medical magazines who at age 50 volunteered for a stint in Iraq with the Navy Reserve Medical Corps. He figures his frontline military service contrasts nicely with Sarbanes' lack of military service. Plus, the incumbent has a spotty record on veterans' issues that he says has been tarnished by votes against spending levels he considered too low. Here's Plaster.
That's why all of our signs say Veteran for Congress. I want people to know that if you care about veterans, there's only one man in this race that you should be voting for, the guy who put his life on the line for veterans.
Sarbanes makes his own case for support and even innovation on veterans' issues. But Plaster faces a much bigger obstacle. The 3rd District, designed by Maryland's Democratic leaders at the state and congressional levels, is part of a map contorted to thwart Republican victories. A 2-to-1 voter majority of Democrats to Republicans has produced a Maryland delegation in the House of Representatives in which the lone Republican, Andy Harris, of the 1st District on the Eastern Shore, is outnumbered 7-to-1. It has taken some map-drawing artistry to achieve that result.
The praying mantis, the pinwheel, the blood spatters from a crime scene. The 3rd District has been called the broken-winged pterodactyl.
That's Walter Olson, co-chairman of the Redistricting Reform Commission, appointed last year by Republican Governor Larry Hogan to address many years of complaints about the partisan bias in the way Maryland draws election districts. He says only North Carolina provides any competition for the worst single district in the country. Partly as a result of reshuffling voters in other districts, the bizarre-looking 3rd District includes parts of 4 counties and a chunk of Baltimore City. It ranges from Towson to Annapolis and Columbia and includes such distinctly different communities as mostly Jewish Pikesville, working-class Parkville, the exclusive waterfront vistas of Gibson Island, and what Plaster lovingly calls the hipsters of Federal Hill. Plaster says that the logistics pose a particular challenge to a political newcomer trying to get his message out.
The people in each one of these areas are very, very different. That's part of the reason, geographically, part of the reason why we bought a bus right off the bat, and so that we could campaign like you would if you were running a statewide race.
Plaster's colorful campaign bus may help some with name recognition, but it contributes to the cost of a campaign into which the candidate has already contributed $100,000 of his own money. Sarbanes acknowledged during an interview at a recent party in Columbia that his district is oddly shaped. But he says his Central Maryland constituency, along the Baltimore-Washington corridor, works well for a congressman who commutes to the Capitol from Towson.
About 80% of my district I can access within 10 or 15 minutes of the commute I drive every day. So in some ways, I may be more present in my district on a daily basis than just about any other member of Congress, and that allows me to really stay connected.
Both candidates support redistricting reform. Plaster backs Governor Hogan's proposal to assign the job of drawing congressional districts to a nonpartisan committee that would respect city and county boundaries as much as possible. Sarbanes favors a federal approach that would work the same way, but eliminate the huge advantage Republicans now enjoy across the nation. They control governorships and legislatures in 23 states, compared to only 7 states led exclusively by Democrats. Neither proposal has any immediate chance of success, certainly not in time for this year's election. And there's little hint, despite some sympathetic lower court rulings, that the Supreme Court will intervene in an arena where it has historically feared to tread. Olson says the court's reluctance to get involved in a partisan dispute argues for a political solution.
We really have to do what's right, not only because the courts may not ever get around to stepping in, but also because by doing what's right, we have far better chance to plan out a rational system instead of respond to litigation and court orders.
Prospects for a compromise approach in Maryland will likely be boosted if Governor Hogan wins a second term and thus presides over the next round of map drawing. Plaster says Hogan's 2014 upset of Democratic Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown is what inspired him to run for Congress.
Because I looked at him and I said, here's a man who cares deeply about his state, who has never been elected to office, and stayed with the meat and potatoes kind of issues that people really care about, lower taxes, making Maryland a better place to live. And he won.
Plaster also took note that Hogan won by 24,000 votes in the 3rd District, despite a 2-to-1 Democratic majority. Even so, Sarbanes has a huge advantage in terms of name recognition, not least because his father, Paul Sarbanes, held that House seat before he advanced to the Senate for 30 years. As has been his practice, Sarbanes is running a low-octane race, often dropping by community events such as the party in Columbia to help promote a new version of public campaign financing. Plaster ridiculed that proposal at his Severna Park gathering.
If you think politics is expensive now, wait till the government's paying for it.
But Sarbanes feels strongly enough about the issue that it has become a central part of his message. He said it was an easy choice.
Do you want special interest bankrolling campaigns? In which case, that's who legislators will end up working for or leaning towards? Or do you want the public to step up and say, you know what? We're going to own our system again.
If owning our own system is the goal, redistricting reform might get us there quicker. I'm Karen Hostler for 88.1 WYPR.